Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Question Reality. I'm Priscilla Leona, producer and host of this show, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. For 10 years, we have been ranked the number one entertainment career advice radio show. And this is the show to listen to if you are currently pursuing or dreaming about a career in the entertainment industry. And the guest on this show will help you by providing tips, advice, and resource information on how and what it takes to pursue a successful career in a wide variety of show business professions. I think I'm becoming verklempt here. I didn't drink any water, and I think there's a little frog in my throat. Let me just clear myself out a little bit. Sorry about that. But I want to sound smooth as silk over here. So there you go. Now, just to tell you a little bit about our guest, we have a plethora of entertainment guests. We have Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners. We have reality TV stars, film and music producers, film, television, theater directors. We have casting directors, talent managers, screenwriters, actors, singers, songwriters, comedians, writers. I love my behind the scenes people, my script supervisors, stunt people, and once in a while we throw in an entertainment attorney because hopefully you'll get to the point where you need one. So we throw them in there around December. So that's the month to listen for our entertainment attorneys. Now, if you missed any of our shows, go to our archive page on the LATalkRadio.com website and search for our show title, which is Question Reality, or you can search by my name. Again, you should know it, but just in case, Priscilla Leona. And all of the Question Reality shows are also available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.com. And I want you to go and get your free mobile app on the homepage of the LA Talk Radio website. It's located on the right-hand side towards the bottom. You have to scroll, 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 and then eventually you'll get it. But you definitely want to get the mobile app because we have the hottest shows on the radio. I'm telling you, you need some sex advice? Well, we got somebody for you. You want to learn how to play guitar? There's someone for you. Do you want to learn about the Bible? Well, we have someone to teach you about the Bible. I mean, it is just a wide variety of shows on LA Talk Radio. So get that mobile app. There's always a show for you. And finally, if you want to be a guest on the show and you're working professionally in the business, show business, or you want to refer someone to promote themselves or showcase themselves, their products, and just genuinely help listeners with sage career advice, we are currently booking for October, November, and December. We only have a couple spots. I only do two dates in November and two dates in December because, you know, I take a month-long vacation. So I just need to energize myself after I talk myself to death. The whole year, I need a month to recuperate. So, again, go to our official website, which is different from LATalkRadio.com. It's QuestionRealityRadioShow.com. QuestionRealityRadioShow.com, and that has a list of all the guests, upcoming guests, past guests. And then you click on the contact link and submit for interview consideration. We will consider you. You'll be considered. You've been summoned. Okay. Before we talk to our guests today, I just want to talk about two little things. One, I went to a fantastic film screening on the 23rd, on Thursday. Jennifer Tadlock's latest film, it's called Last Curtain Call, and it's starring Christopher Malecki. If you don't know that name, he's an actor, producer, and a soap opera star. He was on Passions, Days of Our Lives, Port Charles. And also starring in the film is Gilby Clark from the legendary rock band Guns N' Roses. OMG. You know, I was dancing like Axl Rose. I could rock that dance back in the 80s. Let me tell you, I had it going on until I fell in my alligator heels and broke my leg. But until then, that dance was down. I had it. Okay, so this is a great film. It tells the story of an aspiring rock star who he's neglected his family over his long music career. And unfortunately, he just as he's about to get his big break in the music industry, he's diagnosed with early onset dementia, and he knows that his life is limited. He tries to make up for lost time with his loved ones, and it's about that journey, and is it too late? So it's like, is it? The film is currently playing at the Arena Cine Lounge at 6464 Sunset Boulevard, Hollywood, California. Arena Cine Lounge. And it started on the 24th, and it plays till the 30th. So... oh, it also started playing on Amazon Prime, so you can see it there as well. If you want to buy tickets, arenascreen.com, and then Last Curtain Call. Oh, you got to go see this. I don't know one person that I've met in the last 10 years who hasn't had a family member that has suffered from Alzheimer's or dementia or known someone. I just had three people, two family members and a family friend that died as a result of Alzheimer's, complications from Alzheimer's and dementia. So very, very serious, serious disease that we need to bring attention to. Every disease we need to bring attention to, but now this is the end one, okay? This is what I'm being told. Now, as you know from listening to me for years and years, you know I am a judge at several film festivals. I am a judge for the Burbank International Film Festival, and I'm also a judge for the NSAEN Film Festival, and at different times they have different submission time periods. Well, right now, if you go to nsasam.com/online film festival, you can submit for this film festival. Oh, it's fantastic. And I tell you why I love this. The winner of this film festival will get a distribution deal with Shammy Media Group. And Shammy is a company that distributes media content worldwide through cable TV, mobile, online digital platform, airlines, physical outlets. So obviously, we all know what a film festival is, but what I wanted everyone to know is that NSAEN Film Festival, what I love about them is they recognize that there's a growing community of disabled filmmakers, and they enthusiastically and encourage and invite them to participate by submitting their films. And what else is extremely gallant about this film festival is that a portion of the submission fees are donated to Cheers to the Warriors, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. And the primary mission that we have is to provide financial assistance through monetary grants to U.S. veterans who've been injured in combat. And not a lot of film festivals do that. Before you submit to a film festival and you have to pay your hard-earned money, you want to look and see, where's this money going? There are a lot of other things, and we're going to have a whole big film festival. I think we'll have maybe 3 or 4, maybe 5 film festival founders on to tell you the real scoop about the film festivals, because I am continually asked. I've submitted to 25 film festivals, and not one of them I've heard back from. Why? Well, I'll tell you why, but not today, because it's a long, drawn-out process. But there are reasons. Okay. And last, before we talk to our guest today, I want to give a shout-out to Janet Furmanek. I wish I had my little cheer section. Usually, Albert, we're not in the radio station today. We're doing this remote because our guest is in Georgia, and I'm in LA, so I can't push the little button. that Albert usually pushes when I announce someone. He has like this really cool cheer, and it's like the crowd cheering. So Janet, just imagine the crowd is going, "Yay, Janet! Woo!" Janet Furmanek, I wanted to thank her so much. She hooked me up with the guest on the show today, and without her, this interview would not have been possible. So I really thank you, Janet. And she is married to my first cousin, James Furmanek. And so it's a long, drawn-out story, but thank you, James. Thank you, Janet, for introducing me to the guest today, who is Jessica Furmanek. And I also wanted to do a shout-out to Nikki Nicole, who is our other cousin, first cousin. And she said she'd be tuning in today to hear Jessica. So it's going to be kind of an informal. I'm going to have Jessica say hi to Nikki, and Nikki will be psychically sending a hello back. But the guest today, I've already said it, but it is none other than my cousin Jessica Furmanek. And Jessica is the daughter of James Furmanek, who is my first cousin from my Aunt Mary. And she is an actor, she is an author, and she's an advocate. And Jessica made her first public appearance at age 4, performing a solo rendition of I Believe in Angels by ABBA on a local radio station. She's performed as a dancer and a singer throughout her childhood, focusing on jazz, blues, and scat. And then as a teen, she performed in many theater productions. And while she was doing that, she was approached because she's absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. She's like sizzle sexy. She's like sizzle sexy. When you go to her website, which I'm going to tell you in a minute, but you're like, what is it? What is it? What is it? She is hot to trot, sizzle sexy girl. Of course, it runs in the family, does it not, ladies? Yes, it does. Okay, so as a teen, she performed for many theater productions. She was approached by modeling agencies, and she got to add swimsuit and hair model to her resume, obviously. And then Jessica decided to move to Hollywood to continue her entertainment career, and has since performed in film and television and theater, and she is currently starring in a faith-based film. And Jessica is also a contributing writer for several online magazines and blogs, and she is proud to announce her very first book called From Pain to Purpose. And this book is a step-by-step guide to help trauma survivors find their way back to life's calling and purpose. And the book is going to be released in spring of 2019. However, today you can do a pre-order. It is available now for pre-orders, and you can go to the website frompaintopurpose.org. frompaintopurpose.org. And let me just tell you what her website is so you can see how gorgeous she is. She's just a beauty. I'm just so proud that she's so beautiful and she's related to moi. Her website is obviously Jessica Furmanek. And you're like, how the heck do you spell Furmanek? It is a tricky one. Okay, so her website is, did I call her Janet? Jessica, please don't tell me I called her Janet. Janet, you're gorgeous too, girl. But Jessica, Jessica F is in Frank, U-H-R-M-A-N is in Nancy, N is in Nancy, E-C-K. God, I hope I got that right. If I didn't, I am in trouble, but I feel like I put a little bit too many N's. I think I did. No, I correct that. It's J-E-S-S-I-K-A-F-U-H-R-M-A-N-E-C-K. Put a little extra N in there. Jessica Furmanek. All right, without further ado, I feel like I've had 5 cocktails today. I feel high. I don't even drink or smoke, and I feel like I'm drunk over here. Oh, it's all that. It's that spelling of Furmanek. Welcome to the show, Jessica.
Hi, Priscilla. How are you?
Oh, well, I'm out of breath, and I'm feeling like dry over here. I said I could get through this with one bottle of water. I have finished the the bottle of water, and now I'm trying to suck the ice while I'm talking. I'm letting it drip in my mouth. It's so bad. I don't know why I did that. Okay, so thank you so much for coming on the show. I hope I did not butcher the last name.
No.
It's Vermanek, right? Vermanek.
You did a great job. You did a great job. I'm very impressed.
Much. And thank you for not yelling at me for adding that extra N. I don't know where that came from. Oh, my gosh. So, Jessica, you are obviously right now in Georgia, which I swear to God, I have like 10 friends that have moved to Georgia because Georgia is like the new Hollywood people. So if you don't want to deal with New York is more, if you're going to go there, it's more theater anyway. But if you don't want to deal with coming all the way to L.A., go to Georgia. It is where, I mean, production houses are popping up all over the place. I got like 3 friends who are agents out there. They just moved from LA and they're out there snatching up the actors right and left. Talent managers are leaving LA and they move there. So it is a great place to be. What? Let's start off with that real quick before we get into, we're going to go back when you were born and raised. But before we do that, tell me about what's going on in Georgia right now in the entertainment industry. Tell everybody how they need to run to Georgia and take all the jobs.
Well, I have been going back and forth all year between Atlanta and the West Coast. And I have to be honest with you, I'm not the only one. I've met at least a dozen people doing the same thing. There's a lot of work happening in Atlanta. And it's a lovely, very healthy, very close-knit community of actors and entertainment professionals. And I recommend it to anyone who wants to, you know, stay on the East Coast or stay in this region or not pay, you know, 5 times as much money for rent.
Oh, I know. It's so expensive to live in L.A. My God, you got to have like 6 jobs. But I have many friends that live in Georgia, and they they were from there and they moved here and then they moved back there. And they said, oh, I'm so happy I moved back. And it is just booming in Georgia. So again, Jessica said, if you are living on the East Coast, it is much easier for you to just get down to Georgia. Mm-hmm. So get your little butt down to Georgia. Now, let's hang out with you, Jessica. Oh, you were born and raised in Baltimore, Maryland, old Charm City, USA. Oh, my God. Good I haven't had a damn a Maryland crab since 2014. Oh, my God. I have dreams of them, and you can't get a damn Maryland crab out here. You get those old damn Dungeness crabs. What the hell's going on? Yeah. They don't even taste the same, right, Jessica?
And they have none of the seasoning, so it's totally blah.
I had to go to the damn World Market and get some Old Bay seasoning.
Could you find it?
At World Market down at what is
Glendale?
Right there. It's the market on 3rd and Fairfax. 3rd and Fairfax. It's a market there. So you go and they have every spice in the world.
Yeah.
But it still didn't taste the same. I just gave up. I said I'll just wait till I go.
When I am in LA, I will make you some crab cakes from scratch. I make them just like you're in the harbor.
Oh gosh. Well, you know, when I was there in 2014, Jessica, I nearly had a heart attack. One crab cake was $25.
Well, you know, that's the way it goes.
No, when I was there, do you know how much they were? They were $12. And then I didn't go back for years and years. When I left in 1990 to move out here, they were $12. I went back in 2015, $25. I'm like, what the heck happened? But, you know, I'd pay $50 to get one of those crab cakes. So.
I mean, what can you do? It's authentic and there's no duplicating the taste.
That is true. Now, you made your first public appearance at age 4 performing a solo as I said, of I Believe in Angels by ABBA on a local radio station. So first of all, I absolutely love ABBA. So how did it come to be that you were performing this song at a local radio station?
Well, if you speak to my father, James, or my mother, Joan, they will tell you that as soon as I could talk and walk across the room, I was performing. And my father used to call me the dancer of couches, because I would stand on the back of the couch, you know, quite precariously, and I would give a performance. And singing was the first thing that came out of me. And so I was a fairly good singer. I sang all through my childhood. I toured around with a couple different groups. And so I was singing at a very young age. My mother was friends with a local radio host in Baltimore City, and he had a show on a local station. And for whatever reason, they invited me one day to perform. And that was my first public performance. And it was pretty awesome. I obviously don't really remember it, but I remember that it happened.
So that that probably sparked the showbiz bug in you. You didn't even know it. It was just being sparked.
It was always there. I was just always on.
Now, you always performed, as you said, you also performed as a dancer and a singer throughout your childhood, focusing on jazz and blues and scat. And obviously, Jessica, these skills are usually obtained via classes. So did your mom and dad see that you were serious about wanting to pursue a career in the entertainment industry later on as you got older and enroll you in lots of classes? And if so, which classes?
That's a fantastic question. And I'm really, really excited that you asked me that. So we were not... We were not rolling in the money back when I was a young child. And there's a lot of us. I have a lot of siblings, as you probably learned. There's eight of us. So that's a whole nother story. So we had a very limited budget. I mean, more limited than you're thinking right now. And my father was a breadwinner, and so he was at work most of the time. My mother was the one who came and had to deal with my performance requirements. And so what she did is, to the best of her ability, with whatever budget she could come up with, she would find a way. And so I was able to do some ballet. There was some money for that. I actually wound up, by the time I was 20, I was trained in 7 forms of dance. She just, whatever she could do, whatever could be done, she would go ahead. I was formally trained on piano by the pastor's daughter. And I think my mom paid her a small nominal fee to give me the lessons. We just made it work. There was not much money invested in my training, really almost none. If you know me, if anybody knows me is listening, I'm sure will agree, I just never, ever, 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 ever give up. And when I am bound and determined to accomplish a goal or learn a thing, I'm a learner, then I'm going to do that. I really don't think about money. So I just share that with you to encourage anyone listening of any age. It doesn't have to be about money. It doesn't.
Believe me, where there's a will, there's a way. So if you want it, you're going to find it. If your ass gets thirsty, you're going to look for water, right? If you get hungry, you're going to bite somebody's arm off and chew it up, which leads us. Oh my God, Jessica, I don't even know. Did you hear that article that's sweeping across the internet about this new fad in New Zealand where these sick people are getting together and they are having pieces of themselves cut off and cooked and they all share? I watched the video today and I almost threw up, but I don't even want to talk about that. But that's what went through my head. And you said, oh, don't talk about that. No, there's some sick people out there, but that's something I thought, let's not do that. Okay, so sick. Stop going on, Jessica. So my husband is a software developer by day, and he's also a jazz guitarist by night and on the weekend. So I'm somewhat educated about jazz, and boy, it is really hard to scat, even after you've been trained. So seeing in your bio that you can scat is so impressive to me. So is that something that came naturally, or was that like, you had to work really hard at that? I'm blown away by people who scat. I try to do it. It sounds like a damn Peking cat, their tail caught in a damn door.
It can go a bad way, to be fair.
Yes,
and please don't ask me to scat.
No, I won't. I won't. No. No, but I'm just wondering, how did you learn that? I mean, that usually takes years of experience.
It is an unusual thing. I had the distinct privilege of growing up. My family was from Baltimore, from the east side of town, from Highland Town. I'll give a little shout out. And even though we moved away from there for me to study a little farther out, I just had the privilege of growing up in a city filled with just a deep soul. Baltimore just has a deep soul to it. I'm sure you can attest to that. And so I was surrounded by people who were willing to teach me this. And so I started probably around age 12. I had an amazing teacher at the public school. And I was in various groups with her for, probably 4 or 5 years. And she really, really enjoyed, jazz and blues. And she, we had to audition even within these groups. We had to audition for the group, and we had to audition for each solo. And I got a lot of them, I'm not going to lie. And
It came naturally.
It came so naturally for me to sing jazz and blues and scat. And people used to laugh because, I was young. I was like 90 pounds, little blonde girl with super skinny legs and arms, right? And I would get on stage, and my co-soloists, would be these amazing, young African-American man would come out and he'd start scatting, right? And then they'd be expecting I don't know what. But I would roll onto stage, my little old me with my super blonde hair, and I would bust out scat.
Wow.
And I don't think they were ready for it.
I'm like, what the hell's going on? They had a
transition.
Wow.
I loved it. I loved it. I still do love it.
You're not going to get away. When you come out here, we're going to have you come. My husband plays in all different types of bands, as I told you. And he regularly plays at the Rosenthal Winery in Malibu. So you will be coming to perform at the Rosen.
Absolutely.
It is so cool. It's right on the beach. There's like celebrities. Entertainment crowd. You will love it. Will you get up on the stage and do some singing for us?
I will do that for you.
Yes! All right, you heard it. She's locked the promise in. Okay, so as a teen, you performed in many theater productions, and you were constantly approached, as we talked about, by modeling agencies and adding swimsuit and hair model to your resume. And I was just thinking, oh, my God, wow. Most of us can only dream about doing all of that in one lifetime, especially being approached by modeling agencies for swimsuit and hair modeling, right? So I was thinking about myself. I was looking at you, and I'm like, damn, she's got some Pantene hair. Because I get out of the damn shower, Jessica, I swear to God, girl, it looks like I have been literally and figuratively electrocuted. What happened. I know. So am I. It takes like 5 hair care products to whip this shit in shape. It takes, and your mane is on fleek, girl. It is on. I'm like, damn, he looks good. So, so what exciting things happened to you that you can share with us as when you were a swimsuit and a hair model? You probably got like all kinds of cool stuff, and it was probably a very rich and rewarding experience to add. To being a teenager. I mean, I personally love it. My God, I haven't worn a swimsuit since I was 7. Like, oh, what the hell? This bikini will fit around my ankle now, but that's it. That's all we're getting on my bikini. And so tell me, what the hell happened? What's going on?
What happened is the current chest size that I was since like 5th grade. So that's what happened. And so when I was a teen, I started in theater as a teen, but I did the bulk of my theater work in my 20s, to be clear. But I was approached by 2 or 3 of the major modeling agencies in the tri-state area, one I was just a teen. And because of the shape of me, I was almost always booked for swimwear.
Yeah.
And I did do runway and I did hair, because that's so easy for me with hair.
Yes, it is. Let's point that out again. People, go to her website, jessicavermanick.com, and take a look at that damn hair. I want a scalper back right now. Scalper, wear it as a wig. I want her hair. What I want to know specifically is, I know today is a lot different than when you were approached, but what tips, just a couple, like maybe one or two, what tips or advice do you have for anyone who is approached in a similar manner today? What would you say, like some sort of advice?
So here's the deal. So I got lucky in that I was approached by very professional organizations. I was referred to professional modeling agencies, and I didn't experience scams. But at the same time, as a teen, I'm like developing my value, my understanding of self, and why I have value as a woman, as a person, as a human. And it was a little tricky. It messed with my mind a little bit. Because we are the product, and we are the sale, we are the product, we are the object, and I had some difficulties. I had some dark moments with the modeling agency, as I'm sure most models have. So I would advise two things. One, the reason that I was placed with real agencies, we'll just put it that way, was because I listened to the referrals of friends and colleagues. So please, never, ever, ever, if possible, if at all possible, don't just go online and start signing up for modeling agencies. Please work within your inner circle as a young person and ask for referrals from family, from friends, from older friends, from friends of your parents, from anyone in the industry who can say, look, I work with this agency, this is a legitimate agency, this is real work, this is the actual work that's going to happen, not someone asking you to spend a bunch of money for no reason or send you on strange things. And secondly,
and nobody in the mall, people,
nobody in the mall. Oh my gosh. Never once did I ever do anything with anything in the mall. And secondly, find yourself a mentor, or you talk to your mom, because you're going to become the object and everything is going to be based on the flatness of your stomach. Right. And, I didn't do well. I did things to keep my stomach flat and did not eat at all sometimes, and I booked, and I knew they would book me if I looked like that. But later, look, this is points to the book.
We're about to come to it.
Later, I had many years of recovery to get my head on straight about who I am and why I have value. So have a mentor or someone who you can say, hey, you know, this is what I'm thinking about myself, and they can say back to you the truth.
Absolutely. So obviously you remain interested to be in the entertainment industry for you to actually move to Hollywood to continue your entertainment career. And it seemed to be the right choice for you to make, because since you've been here, you performed in film and television and theater, and you're currently starring in a faith-based film, which sounds so exciting. So let's start out with, tell us the name of the film, the character that you play, what stage of production it's in, you know, pre, post, blah, 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 and how you were cast in the film. I'm throwing a lot of questions, but since you're an actor, she'll remember every one of them. Okay, so we'll start with that. So the name of the film, the character you play, what stage of production in, and how you were cast in the film.
Okay, the film is tentatively titled Bloom, B-L-O-O-M. I'm cast as the lead, but there are really five characters of women who are recovering from trauma experiences and just overcoming that, and in a way that's very inspirational to the audience without telling you the whole plot. And the five stories sort of interweave. And the way that I was cast is crazy. So I'm going to make a long story so short. So I left the entertainment industry because of harassment and exploitation. I went through some really tough stuff in Hollywood.
Oh, you're skipping it. That was going to be the best part. I was giving you 15 minutes for that one. Don't ruin it. We're going to do a big build-up to the book. We want
I'm not going to ruin it.
Just name the just do the, because I want you to just go full into it with emotion when we get to it. There's a method to the madness. So the name of the film is Bloom. It's a faith-based film, and you are cast in the film. And okay, so let's move on to when you moved here. What type of classes did you take, if any, and do you recommend, what is your recommendation on, what do you feel are the most prominent acting techniques? Because people are very confused, Jessica, and I constantly get the question. They want to know, how do they choose an acting technique that's right for them? Because think about it. There's Stanislavski, there's Strasberg, there's Stella Adler, there's Meisner, Chekhov, Practical Aesthetics, Uta Hagen, there's Viola Spolin. People are whacked out of their brains trying to figure out which one. Because, Jessica, as you know, these classes are expensive. And they end up spending like $350. And then
I spent more than that.
Well, that's for the first class.
$10,000.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because they'll go to one, $350, and they're like, no, that's not for me. And then another one. Mm-hmm. And then another. And next thing you know, you're spending thousands of dollars, right? So literally thousands. How does somebody figure it out before? You know, because not every, some people are not method. Some people are not English mask. Some people, it's very hard for me to tell them because the price is so hard. So here's what I say, and then maybe you have something different. I tell them to find classes that they can audit. Because if you're smart and you go to a class, first of all, if it's a legitimate teacher, they're going to let you audit because they're so confident and secure in their acting abilities, teaching abilities that they will let you audit because they just know you're going to become a student. So that is my tip.
Exactly.
What do you say? Give me one tip.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. I have never been told by a legitimate acting training workshop school that I couldn't audit. They've always let me audit if they were legitimate. Here's what I did when I was 20. I am trained in all of them. I got training in all of them. And I found out how my spirit works and how my mind works and how my heart works and how my body works. And so that's the style I follow. And I add to it as I learn. I think it's okay to spend some money. You're not really going to find out the depths of it unless you do. So be at peace with that. I mean, you don't have to spend $10,000 like I did, but you could. You know, it just depends. If you have it. And so I'm at a point now where I really don't like to go and spend $600 or $500 to go to a 3-day workshop or to do a 3-month class or whatever. What I do, I really, really thrive at workshops, local workshops with actors. And there is no fee. Usually you just come together as a group, a small group of actors who like to work with each other. And there's usually some professional, you know, maybe a little more known person leading it or co-facilitating it. I love those. I go in Atlanta, because I'm a union member, I am invited to a conservatory that's completely free for me as a member. And I go to those. They're just about once a month. And you go in and you have two choices. You can watch or you can participate. And you just have to sign up to be able to read. And you're not going to get chosen every time, but you'll get chosen 2 or 3 times a year. And you can read in front of 50 other actors, and casting agents are there. And, you know, well-known actors with credits who can give you some real solid feedback. And that's totally free. I really like, you know, at this day and age, I really love the free stuff. I do think, though, when I was 20, and I was, you know, exiting childhood performance and entering professional paying, union work, I needed to be formally trained in all of them so that I could find out what's my method, what's my style. And I have to say, you must allow me to say this. I am not an acting snob. I do not walk into a room or a crew or a set or a production or theater and say, if you're not doing this style, then you just aren't an actor. That really drives me a little bit crazy. Every human was made so specifically by God. And
right.
My mind and my heart and my spirit work this way. And if I tell the story and the audience is inspired, then let me have my way. Don't pick me apart. Don't tell me your way is better. The elitism is a distraction from actually getting the work done.
Absolutely. Oh, here, here, girl. Now, all about, here you go. Now, here, the moment we've been waiting for. All right, you are a contributing writer for several online magazines and blogs, and you are on this show to promote your first book, again called From Pain to Purpose, which is a step-by-step guide to help trauma survivors find their way back to their life's calling and purpose. So we've all been waiting for this. You stated that for the first 10 years in Hollywood, you experienced harassment, exploitation, and even assault at the hands of male performers, directors, and producers. And this caused you to take a long break from performing, and you turned your focus toward your own recovery from trauma. So if you feel comfortable talking about it, which I assume you do or you won't be on the show, can you tell our audience, can you tell our audience your story from the inception, and also what was the breaking point that made you take a long break from the entertainment industry? There had to be something. There had to be like some sort of,
was a breaking point.
Yeah, breaking point. And what was your journey like that gave you the strength to come back? So if you can remember those questions.
Well, I can. Yeah, I've got it. Well, I'll start by saying I am a childhood abuse survivor. So there was some sexual abuse in my childhood, and that was sort of planted the seed of, this is what we use you for. Like, that's kind of the message I received, right? And so imagine that seed's in the back of my mind, and I'm performing, and I'm working, and I'm auditioning, and I'm working on set, and I've got people in authority, just like when I was a child, right, pushing me, or I've been drugged, you know, I've been assaulted, just doing all of these things. And in the back of my head, I still have that message ringing, well, this is what you're for, right? Like, this is what we use you for. So now I've gone from childhood abuse to being abused at my place of business, at my work, while I'm doing my job, which I've spent a lot of money being trained to be able to do, you know, and I've worked very hard, and that shouldn't be happening. And I wound up, you know,
Are we talking typical casting couch situations that we all hear about where, you know, casting directors or directors or producers kind of, you know, say, well, we'll be able to help your career, doll, if you only
fellatio,
or, you know what I'm saying, that kind of enticement, or they say, we'll do this for you if you do this for us? Or was it actually like forced events or a combination?
It was a combination of every horrible version of what you're describing. There were, you know, I was convinced by colleagues and friends that I should, you know, I was a trained dancer, and so I wound up stripping because that's what they kept asking me to do. And so I wound up doing that. And so I would do that at night, and then I'd audition all day, trying to keep the two separate, you know, trying to not get, you know, like in trouble for doing this one thing and doing the other thing. And it was so exploitive to me. And then I would meet, for example, I was cast in a film with a regionally famous performer. And during the scene, I was cast as his girlfriend. And we had a scene in the film where he was supposed to attempt to rape me. And because he felt that the scene would be more real if I really rape her, he actually tried to do so. And I had to fight him off in the scene, and the director didn't catch it because he thought I was acting. And I walk off the set, and the second AD follows me and says, you know, what's going on? Why have you abandoned the scene? You don't just walk off set. That's a very strange thing to do, right? And I said, well, he is actually beginning to try to assault me, and I don't want to be assaulted. You know, this is insanity. What is happening here, right? That's just one example, and they didn't handle it well. And I, at the time, I was non-union. This was an independent film festival, film that went to festival, went to a well-known, famous festival, and aired there and won awards. And so I'm just keeping my mouth shut because if I call the police, if I tell everybody in an uproar, back in these days, you know, you get blacklisted, you'll never work again. They'll tell every other director, every other producer, and you're not going to be invited to work. And so I kept keeping my mouth shut. I eventually got out of the club because that was garbage and I wasn't feeling good about that. And I wasn't being treated well. And at the end of it, I was being cast over and over and over and over and over again. You know, and I know you guys don't know me, so you don't know. But like, typically, if my people that know me would say I'm kind of a deep communicator. I'm, you know, you would imagine me playing like a deep character, you know, maybe a trauma survivor that's a good spot for me, you know, something, just something with a lot of depth to it. So I was being cast as stripper, hooker, dancer, like that's all they were casting me as. And I know that we do need to have those parts in our stories, but I felt so exploited, and it felt like there was nothing left of Jessica, and all they wanted was for me to just shut up and be a sex symbol. And at the same time, I'm experiencing violence. I was drugged and raped once, and
on the set. I mean, working.
No, not on the set.
Oh God! I'm like, what the hell are you working on? What? In the club you're talking.
Yeah, well, by a manager at a place of business, and then I was also a dancer, a professional dancer, trained. You know, and so I would be hired by bands to work at clubs in Hollywood and, you know, professional work, theater work, you know, and I was drugged by the bands. It just never ended. And so at the end of it, the breaking point was this. So I'm being treated like, I don't even have a word to describe what I was being treated like, but it was clear to me that I was not valued for my intellect. I was not valued as a human. I was just there to be used and misused, and I wasn't really getting that much out of it. I mean, I was getting my few IMDb credits for my work, and I wasn't winning.
Were other girls, you know, were you sharing this story at the time with other actresses as well? Like, did you guys get together and like talk about this and say, "Watch out for him! Watch out for him!" Tell us about that.
Yes, the one actor who attempted to assault me but was unsuccessful, he actually was successful at a rehearsal raping a fellow dancer of mine. And so I was talking about my difficulties with him, and she shared with me that that had happened. And so, yes, we would have conversations. It's not like a predator assaults one actress.
Right.
No, he just knocks out the whole town, whoever he can get in the dark room, whoever he can, you know, whoever he can get, he's going to take advantage of. And it was terrible times. And so at the end of it, I was doing what you would say as well. I had a good agent. I was cast. I got the lead in a part. I beat out an A-list celebrity for an independent film. And I had a film in New York. I went to New York for a year to shoot it. I was cast in a smaller role in a major film with a A-list celebrity. And one film was just so much, and everyone has to make their own choice. So you have to realize, like, I'm sharing my story right now as it pertains to how it affected me. I expect every actor to set their own boundaries and know what boundaries are healthy for them. But the two parts that I got were just more of the same, nudity and playing a stripper. And I was proud that I had beat out, you know, this A-list actress to get the part, but it kind of didn't matter because I just felt like once again, I was being exploited in a way. And I walked away. My agent was like, "What are you doing?" Because I was like, you know what, I'm done. If all I'm ever going to be is this person who people drug and rape, and this woman who all they see is this body, and this is the only story that you're willing to allow me to participate in and share, then there's no point in me doing this anymore. And so I walked away.
I want to make sure we get this in because the show ends at 5:50. So I want to get this in. Yes. Was it the hashtag Me Too moment that that finally, because you walked away, you went on your journey. Was it the hashtag MeToo moment that helped you to decide to write the book? And is this what the book is about, like how to deal with it, et cetera? Because it's a
Well, I wrote the book. So what I was going to say is a couple years ago, a producer, you know, they wrote this amazing faith-based film. And they asked me to dinner and they invited me to be the lead. And I started crying because I had been feeling like it's time to return, Jessica, you know, and to have such a loving group of people invite me back to work, it made all the difference. And then shortly after I got cast in that, the Me Too movement happened. Wow. And I just thought to myself, and I'm going to get emotional, I didn't go back to work.
Yep.
Because
in a safe environment. Now. Yeah. Safe mm-hmm. environment. And I mean, it's really the Me Too movement. I'm going to talk so you get yourself together because it is an emotional thing. But, finally, some brave people, heroes and heroines really started the Me Too, hashtag Me Too movement and said that, you know, this has been going on for 100 years, people. Now enough is enough. And it seems like a dream that most people in show business are now on board, male and female, and more people are being exposed, and they hopefully will no longer be able to inflict harm. And I think that you saw this day coming. I am so glad that you're finally back and that you get to show the world your acting ability, yeah. your writing ability, and all of the other yeah. abilities that you were blessed yeah. with. And you're a multi-talented, beautiful girl. And I'm so you. Glad that you didn't give up and that you're back. And I want everybody to read this book. Please go to the website oh my God, I'm off the page now. Give it to us, girl. Give it to us, girl. Go ahead.
The website is from paintopurpose.org. And the reason I wrote it was because, you know, it's so important after you've experienced trauma or loss or any, it doesn't have to be what I went through. A lot of people experience trauma through car accidents and being soldiers and just losing people you love or several deaths in a row can really be traumatizing. And I just wanted people to know, like, you can get back to point A, back to one. You can get back to point A with a little courage and a lot of help from your community. And so I wrote this book, and the book speaks for itself. You just got to go through it chapter by chapter. But if you're lost,
I'm upset that it's not coming out till spring because I want to read it right now. By the way, what are you doing? Why is it coming out spring? Why I want it now?
You're so funny. So I wanted to release it at Christmas, and I met with my publisher. And so I opened up the pre-order in the summer, and I met with my publisher a few weeks ago, and she said, you know, Jessica, we really want to release this in the spring. We don't want it to be a Christmas gift. We want it to have its own time and focus. And so what I've done, what I will be doing is that we've had a lot of pre-orders, almost 100 already. And what I will be doing is for anyone that pre-orders from now until the actual physical book is in print, for every order from this show is the launch of this little deal. From every order from this show forward that's pre-ordered, I am going to gift a free copy of this to a survivor of exploitation or human trafficking.
Oh my God. I'm going to be promoting this book every week on my show now, Jessica. Oh, thank you so much.
You're
oh
welcome.
My gosh. Thank you. Well, Jessica, oh my God, our time is over. Can you believe 50 minutes went back?
Oh my gosh.
Can you believe it went so fast? People are like, oh my God, what am I going to talk about for 50 whole minutes? It goes like 5 minutes. Doesn't it?
So
you got to promise me that you're going to come back in the spring just before the release and we can promote it again.
I will be back full time in LA after Thanksgiving. I am coming home.
Yay!
So,
quotes on that. Well, then you can come into the radio station and we can promote it live from the radio station. Yay!
Absolutely.
Okay, everybody. Well, thank you so much. Say goodbye to your fans and anybody you want to say goodbye to real quick.
Well, I would love to give a shout out to my beloved mother, Joan. Thank you, Mom. She's stayed there through all of the story. And I'm just so grateful for everyone in my community that just continues to stay and not leave, no matter how down or up I might have been on any given day, they stay and they love and they let me know that I have value. I think my community.
Yeah, everybody has value. Most people, not all. Not just people that are cutting pieces of skin and grilling it up on a damn high watching. All right, we're going to talk about that next week. Thank you so much, Jessica. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. We'll see you next week on Question Reality, and let me know when you're back from Georgia. Bye!
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.